You're in the loop on Radio Australia. And joining us now, we've got Adam Connors. And let me read this. I don't want any interruptions.
Please do.
I wrote it.
Clem wrote it. Makeover artist Nemo extraordinaire and music muff. But I think you mean buff.
I thought buff is too obvious.
I am quite buff, though.
Yeah. Okay, we'll make it buff music.
But I like the Nemo reference because
Nemo
it was,
extraordinaire. I think it was a big fish.
I think it was originally Neo, as in the Matrix guy.
It was.
But of course...
But you've had a makeover.
Yeah, I sort of said it wrong once around the news desk saying I was like Nemo. So I'm like that fish in Sydney Harbour.
Kind of
yeah, that's right. I mean, what's cuter, the fish in Sydney Harbour Keanu Reeves?
Maybe
I reckon the fish.
Maybe a fish a fish in Sydney Harbour that can stop bullets with its mind.
Okay.
That'd be great. Hey, today we're going to be talking about the forums again. Makeover artist.
Of course, extraordinary. Because you're now, can we call you the officially? Can that be
no,
one of
I'm
your
going
titles?
With makeover
well, the moderator
artist.
Has got to come in because you do moderate now and it's part of your work. So, Radio Australia's online moderator.
That's right.
Adam Connors.
Yeah, I like the ombudsman thing, but you know, that word's
not
too big.
Stick.
Yeah.
Not
does.
After what's going on in some countries in the region and the people they're appointing
Nemo.
As ombudsman, actually.
Yes.
Adam, if you can't control us, how are you going to moderate? What
That's
do you have
right.
to do?
Yeah, I can't moderate. I've got no moderation myself. No semblance of it.
It's a misnomer.
But today we're going to be talking about pretty much the most important aspect of online bulletin boards and forums is how to watch over them and watch for things which might some people might find libelous or hateful or disrespectful. And I'm going to start off by looking at what three of the biggest online news sites in the world do and the way that they vet comments from the public. The Wall Street Journal is obviously one of the biggest ones in the world. The New York Times online as well, and the Washington Post. They all have different ways that they look at people's comments and put them straight online. So the Wall Street Journal, to begin with, they actually post-moderate their comments. They basically allow a comment to go on, and then moderators look at it and say, yeah, that's good, or maybe we should pull that. Which is
so they go straight up.
They go straight up, which is it's a bit iffy. You don't want to have something up there which is libelous and defamatory.
It's risky.
For any length of time on your website, really. But the Wall Street Journal online editor, Bill Gruskin, he says that their forums are attached to questions of the day or columns that run print and online. The forums require registration, which is a way of leading, but not always, to more thoughtful discussion. So what they do is they open it up and they basically think that a Wall Street Journal reader and viewer will have something thoughtful to say.
Huge assumption.
It is a big assumption.
Well, I guess they know the demographic.
Hmm. They do, but we all do as well. There's different ways. Say, if you put up, a gossip magazine and you want people to say, oh, I hate Kylie or I like Britney, that's fine. You can throw that sort of stuff up. But if you're talking about Middle East policies and various war zones, you don't want straight open slather.
And that's the thing, Tanya, you make an assumption that you'd have a certain type of readership. And yet until recently, I hope I'm not treading on unsteady ground here, but until recently we assumed that certain types of people wouldn't be involved in terrorism because of the professions they work in, and yet you look at what's emerged in recent weeks, so that even I mean, I'm sure they'd read intelligent professions, they'd read certain newspapers, but who knows what they might end up, slipping into something like the Wall Street Journal. So that's, I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah. And a reader would love to get something spiteful up and underneath the Wall Street Journal masthead, to swear on the Wall Street Journal. Woohoo, we all want to do that. but the Wall Street Journal, they troll their blogs. They go through their posts and forums for the nasty stuff, profanity, attacks against women or men. So they call them homonym and feminim attacks. And so on. Sometimes a discussion explodes with comments and they can hardly keep up. But in general, they tend to be fairly forgiving. They don't edit for spelling or grammar, and they err on the side of allowing discussion rather than inhibiting it. So they would obviously have a lot of legal backing on the way that they do that. And of course, you have to think that this is in the US and they've got Millennium Acts, online Millennium Acts from 2001, protecting freedom of speech for digital broadcast and all that sort of stuff. We in Australia and everywhere around the world have different rules, different regulations for online and comment. Now, the New York Times, they do what we do. They pre-moderate their comments. And Heather Moore, the community editor from the New York Times, she says they publish reader comments alongside articles and reviews that round out coverage and utilise our greatest strength, which is their unique readership, which is, I suppose, what we all do. Our readers are well-informed, passionate, and more often than not, highly articulate. As a service to these readers, we have made the decision to pre-screen and weed out the tenacious few who would try to derail the conversation by, you know, putting a swear word on the New York Times. So they look at it the same way we do. Moderating, like editing, is an art, and every moderator's touch is slightly different, even mine. But the guidelines we provide are clear, no personal attacks, and no vulgarity or profanity of any kind. So that's very much the way that we do things here. I'll give you an example that happened this week.
Okay.
Yeah, so on Radio Australia's,
feedback news section, and current affairs message boards. Now, there was a story on Tuesday from the Radio Australia newsroom, a Malaysia PM to look into apostasy cases. Apostasy is the formal renouncing of one's religion. Now, the news article was, and I'll use my newsreader voice now, Malaysia's Prime Minister has vowed to look into politically sensitive cases of Muslims renouncing Islam in favour of other religions. And it goes on and on and on.
I got tingles then. Use that voice again.
I should do that more often. Yeah. Now, the reply, and I should put on a different voice for this.
Oh, okay.
The response to
this. Yeah, I'll do a country West Australian voice. Yeah. At first, I thought this PM would be different. No, I'm not going to do that. So, at first I thought this, the response to that article was from someone calling themselves Stupid Religion. Now, the alarm bells would go off immediately for me as a moderator. Uh-oh, all right, this one's not making it through. But then I started reading it. At first I thought this PM, being the Malaysian PM, would be different. Nah, after this 4 years, we know he is all talk, no action. And I'm thinking, and then they will continue to use religion to control people, but the worst thing is they choose Islam, which is the worst choice. It creates fanatics. All right, I'm already reaching for the delete, to drag this into the bin. But then this Stupid Religion, this person who posted this, says, not to say that Christianity and Catholics don't. All right, that's rounding out, that's balance. That's basically saying, I don't like the colour blue, but I really don't like green and orange either.
Yeah.
So, all right. There's a bit of sort of balance there across the board. So that one goes through.
Yeah. Adam, are we, so it's pretty much just, sorry, Tanya, you wanted to say something?
No, okay.
How influenced are we, and I suppose I'm asking you this, by our own Australia's relations with the region? Do alarm bells, would they go off in particular when we're delving into, areas where there's a history of tensions between Australia and certain countries in the region? There has been with Malaysia in the past.
Oh, sure.
Big time alarm bells, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Okay. A bit of an example of mine is many years ago I was working at a very large international magazine and I put up a poll question. It was my first weeks in this job. I put up a poll question. Do you think China deserves to have Taiwan back? Yes or no? I got a phone call at 3.
You put that up?
Yeah. It's silly. I got a phone call at 3 in the morning from Dulles, Virginia in the US saying, hi, it's AOL Time Warner server farm. We're pulling that poll because you are literally slowing down the internet. students across the world, and especially at the large universities in the US, MIT being one of them, started voting yes and no depending on whether they were mainland Chinese or Taiwanese. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they were getting hundreds of thousands of votes a second.
Yeah.
And so it was the servers were smoking.
Yeah.
So
that was an Asian country. That was China. We're talking about big, and when we just mentioned the Malaysia case, Malaysia, Australia. Mm. But say, for example, someone had a go at the New Zealand Prime Minister in the same way. Would your alarm bells go off just as much as they would have or did with the other story?
Well, yeah, the idea is to stimulate conversation. Yes. And if you've got something like today's news story today, Commodore Frank Bainimarama saying that New Zealand's Prime Minister Helen Clark is cracking up, end quote.
Right.
So that is something that someone said. That's fine. That's a news story that goes up.
Yeah.
But also you can discuss this. the mm-hmm. idea with these forums, so everyone else out there can have a say whether Helen Clark is cracking up or not. And that's, I mean, it's out there from a yeah. a leader of a nation, so it's open discussion. Mm. If someone else, if just a member of the public wrote in, I think Helen Clark is cracking up, I would think twice about putting that up.
Okay.
Unless they gave some background.
So a lot of thoughts going into it. Why do we put so much thought into it? I know we mentioned litigation and all that, but the legal risks, I mean, what are they?
Yeah, well, again, it varies across the board around the world in different places. But the ABC and Radio Australia, we have distinct editorial policies. And there's a conditions of use on the message boards. And we look specifically for certain things which people might have problems with, especially defamatory or otherwise unlawful harassment, discrimination, or any sort of privacy or contempt situations, anything which is intentionally false or misleading, like that documentary last night on global warming, an infringement of intellectual property rights or copyright, but you're allowed to quote from things, you know, like we do as journalists, anything abusive or offensive, including obscenity, blasphemy, and racial vilification. That apostasy post is a good example there. Yeah. It looked like there was going to be a savage attack on Islam. But no, it ended up being a savage attack on religion. So
full stop, yeah.
Fine, that's okay. And anything of nuisance value, you know, if someone just writes in Mickey Mouse, you know, anything which is off topic of whatever the topic is
right.
on a particular news story or a particular thread, then I'd either move it to another thread or just delete it. Because what we need to do, just like the New York Times and Washington Post people say, is we want to stimulate discussion about that particular topic and keep people on topic. So there is always going to be dissenting voices, and it's good for people on the green team to be yelling at the blue team. As long as they're staying on topic and they're not breaking any laws or any sort of racial vilification, then that's great. That's what we're there for. We're supposed to be encouraging dialogue amongst everyone.
You've got a big task ahead. I can hear that. And I guess with defamation law, these are things that seem to be common sense to me.
Well, to us, yeah. Because we're media professionals, yeah. Every single word that we write, we sort of instinctively know that this is on steady ground. It's okay. We can report, for instance, Bainimarama saying something about Helen Clark. Because that's what happens. We can't put our own voices in there. So, yeah, we have that instinct. But we also, if we're a little bit unsure about things, we can go to the paperwork, look at the terms and conditions, and even look at our own journalistic code of ethics or ask someone else on the desk.
Yeah. So, privacy laws, they've changed recently in Australia as well. How would this affect comments online?
I think the biggest, the area that touches on more than anything is the way that bloggers, for instance, and people writing into message boards, how if they stay under the journalist code of ethics and whether they're allowed to unveil their sources and things like that, whether a blogger, just a member of the public writing anything on the internet, whatever they want, whether they can still sit under that same that government protection of protecting your sources, journalists protecting their sources.
Okay.
So that's still up in the air. It seems that the citizen journalist is starting to have more of that protection, but it's still being tested.
And those laws are very new and still being, as you say, tested.
Tested, because recently some journalists did get charged here somewhere in Australia.
Yes, they've been tightened up.
Right.
Have you got some music for us,
I
Nemo?
Do, yes. And I'll be back next week. I'll talk about something else to do with the forums.
Are you going to leave us now?
You have to draw the quiz prize.
Adam is working on the desk. So
I'll
music?
Yeah, I want music and then I'll draw the prize.
Oh, great.
This is from 1966, the Bollywood movie Gomnam.
And you'd be familiar with this, Clem.
Yeah, Clem was singing it. Yeah, you might be able to pronounce the name of the song better than I.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think it was fine. Muhammad Rafi.
Muhammad Rafi, that's right. Jaan Pehchaan Ho from 1966.
Well done. Well done. Ooh.
जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो शाम जवां यूं ना चली जाए आती है शाम जवां यूं ना चली जाए फिर से ना आएगी या किसी के बुलाए फिर से ना आएगी
You can't hear me. I got so excited. Sit down. You're ready to go. You have to back announce that song.
Jaan Pehchaan Ho by Mohammed Rafi.
Sorry.
Jaan Pehchaan Ho. And it's sort of, I think that refers to, you know, someone you know, familiar, someone who's familiar with you or you're familiar with, Jaan Pehchaan Ho, you know, someone I'm familiar, an acquaintance.
And it's so sharp. It's so great within a radio station right now. We're watching the actual film clip on the computer as well.
On YouTube.
Great.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, really quickly, if we can draw the winners for this week's quiz, Adam, if you can do the honours for the first one. We wanted to know the four major tennis events that make up the Grand Slam. And we've got quite a few entries here, but the let's see.
I'll just turn down your mic while you.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Okay. Viran. Oh, great. Okay, so the winner this week of In the Loop's big thingy thing is Viran Malisa. Sorry, Viran Malisa Trieff. I think from Suvarin, Fiji.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the answers, of course. Can we just check the answers? The Australian Open, the French Open, the US Open, and Wimbledon.
That's right.
Fantastic. Okay, congratulations.
Viran.
We're sending across to you Carl Brody's CD. We've been featuring it as Album of the Week, the album 1 Million Emeralds. And now, Tanya, if you can draw the second.
I don't want the consolation prize.
No, please
give
do.
It to Adam.
Please do. Come on. We wanted to know who is the only player to ever achieve the Grand Slam twice and which female player won six consecutive Grand Slam titles, singles titles in the 1980s. Okay.
Okay, this is from Barry in Fiji. Hi, Baz.
And
Baza.
Two from Fiji. Ooh, okay.
Rod Laver and Martina Radulova.
That's right. Yes, Rod Laver, who's you know, after whom a stadium has been named in Melbourne, Australia, and there was some other clue I had to throw in there. But anyway, there you go, Rod Laver and Martina Navratilova.
Yeah, Tanya, you're the sports journalist. Can you say Navratilova again?
Navratilova. I just want to. Spelling Navratilova.
Okay, that's okay, Barry. You've got the spelling might
Thanks,
have been
Baz.
Not quite right, but congratulations.
No, he got the spelling right. This is fooling about as I do. It's been a big week, Nemo.
It has.
It's been a big animal
speaking
week.
Speaking of animals,
here in here in Sydney Harbour. Here in Sydney Harbour, the animals have gone mad. The giant Tassie squid. We've been talking this week about animals gone mad and a cage fight between lots of crazy animals.
I was just going to say, it set the news desk mad with
the news
ideas.
Desk cage fight. That's right. So the giant Tassie squid.
We're putting money on who would win out of
versus,
all these animals.
That's right. Versus the Indonesian catfish that live in the volcanic toxic mud of, where is it, Indonesia? Somewhere, Surabaya, I think.
Yes.
That's right. So the Environment Minister of Indonesia has said, oh, your land is swallowed by toxic volcanic mud. How about you grow catfish in them?
So, I think it's an outrageously good idea.
It's a fantastic
it could
idea.
Work.
All of us are gagging to grab a video camera.
Which is the best one? Okay.
Oh, no. Then versus the Basra badgers.
My money's on the
badger.
I love that. Have you, the were badger. Me. Have you heard that they actually think the British troops have planted these badgers?
Yes. Well,
can you plant a badger?
They're the cutest creatures, though. Have you seen them?
Have you seen the giant badgers?
No. They ate honey.
You guys haven't seen Wallace and Gromit, have you?
Little furry creatures, big
no,
furry
no,
creatures.
No, no, no. These are were badgers. Oh.
And finally, in the cage fight, in the red corner, is the the mutating butterflies of
Samoa.
Is it Samoa?
Yes. Come South Pacific Games, we'll see some of them, I'm sure.
The toxic butterflies.
I'm going to tell the guys.
More toxic mutating butterflies.
Badgers wins hands down, I reckon.
Look, I'm going for badgers. Who are you going for? You're going for badgers as well, Clem?
I'll go for another one. I'll go for squid. New James Bond book out. I hope a giant squid is included in that new book.
And of course, I've got no opinion. I'm letting the viewers decide. Radio Australia listeners, please go to the forums and tell us who you think will win a grudge match between the Basra Badgers, the giant Tasmanian squid, the butterflies in Samoa, and
the catfish
and
in Indonesia.
The environmental minister's catfish.
Yes,
thank you, Nemo.
Thank you. See you next week.
Hey, it's almost time to go now. We've had fun.
It's hard to know where to go after all of that. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us in the loop. And I'm going a bit loopy right now. Kelly Court from the WWF's Australia's Climate Change Campaign joined us earlier in the show. Thanks a lot. Kelly, we're talking coal-fired power stations. Big development goals for the South Pacific Games in Samoa. Thank you very much to the crew that joined us from there. We had Willie, Abel, and
Abel Kane joined us
as well. So
Chris Patera.
So thank you guys very much. Maddie Weissite brought the weekly cricket update. And, of course, Nemo.
Who's going to win the football?
Hey, all of you, have a great weekend. In the Loop returns next Monday, just after 3 p.m. Silver Time. Tanya and I will be on show.